Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us on this broadcast each and every day. As we face the issues, we look forward to your call-in, your dialogue, discussion, and questions in relationship to the issues that we're speaking on. We're going to be talking about today news that impacts all of us. We'll look at several of the main headline news items and how it relates to us today as conservatives, as Christians, and from a central biblicist worldview. May I suggest to you that the majority of what we see taking place around our world and in America today can make very little, if any, sense unless we look at it from what the Bible says, from the biblical worldview, the biblical perspective. What does God say about these things? Does He give us any insight? Is there anything that we can look at in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God and untangle the mess, as we would seem to call it, that's taking place in America and around the globe today? I believe we can. I believe that God's Word is solid. I believe that God's Word is the track by which we need to focus our lives and the pathway in which we should take. I believe that written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God is the truth book. Jesus said to His disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus says in John 14, 6, "I am truth." And then again in John 17, 17, Jesus makes a declaratory statement about the Word of God. He says, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to direct us. It's the truth that we ought to seek. It was the secularist George Orwell that many years ago made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that to be factual today. We see that to be actually taking place today. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, recently in an article, pretty large article, but I'll boil it down, former Senator Jim DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He says truth is the core principle of Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If we want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, he wrote. He cited a time when he and his wife visited the church on Easter Sunday and heard the minister, a stunner from the minister in the pulpit. After describing the miraculous, incredible resurrection of Jesus, the pastor concluded, "It doesn't really matter if it actually happened or not. It only matters if we believe it was true," end quote. The former senator explained the obvious. What we believe about truth does not change what is truth. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in many of our Christian churches, end quote. So what did Jim DeMint say, ladies and gentlemen? He's saying we have a problem even in our churches, with handling truth. And we find that in many of the denominations across America, where there's a watering down of the truth. Goosebump theology, cotton candy theology, voodoo theology, is the order of the day, rather than thus saith the word of God. A lot of folks that get a little uptight when you simply say, this is what God's word says, this is the position that God takes and the position that we ought to take. It's truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a powerful statement. Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And may I commend that to you today, that we stand on the truth, we seek the truth, we love the truth, we learn the truth, we listen to the truth, we live the truth, and we defend the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the position that I take each and every day on this broadcast, is simply taking the truth based on the authority of the Word of God and standing on it, defending it, without compromise, without wavering, without trying to appease, without trying to sugarcoat the truth of what God's Word says and how we ought to respond to it even today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about professional and homeowner lawn care equipment. Tools for Time has a staff that can answer your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Perhaps you ask the question, how can I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, that identifies the home of Tools for Time. That flagpole is about 165 feet in the air with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. We have some very exciting, somber, considerable news events that I believe we need to talk about. It brings to the forefront what we find in the Word of God. For the most part, we find these events taking place that God's already told us what happened. Ladies and gentlemen, the world's watching today as God's Word, listen to me carefully, as God's Word, biblical prophecy, is coming to pass. We're watching the Middle East exploding. We're watching the Middle East being set ablaze. We're watching the skirmishes and the missiles and the fighting and the bombs bursting in air, if you will, taking place in the Middle East and especially in the area of Israel. You will recall, ladies and gentlemen, that under the presidency of Donald J. Trump, the Abraham Accord was developed. This accord set in place the Arab nations around Israel that agreed to be at peace with the nation of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, since May 15th, 1948, Israel was reconstituted as a nation. After 2,500 years of being a diaspora, that is, being diverse around the world, after 2,500 years of not being a nation, the only nation in the history of the world that's ever been revived and brought back to fruition after being out of the nation as a whole for that period of time. Only Israel, ladies and gentlemen. May I remind us that God did it. May I remind us, when you go back and look at the history of what brought the nation of Israel back to life, was only through the hand of God. But it was the Abraham Accord developed by the Trump administration that brought the Arab nations. I think there was five or six of the Arab nations. I think it was five. And then Saudi Arabia was in the holding pattern of waiting to see and was in negotiations with the Trump administration. And it was going to be at peace with Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a disclaimer today by the Biden administration, an absolute abject lie that President Trump did nothing for the Middle East. I'm looking at an article that is frightening if we're not so sad. It is Psaki, Jen Psaki, the lying mouthpiece for the Biden administration. Psaki claims that Trump did nothing for Middle East peace. That's the headline, dated May 18th. The Trump administration brokered four historic peace deals between Israel and the Arab nations, but President Biden's press secretary declared Tuesday, quote, the prior administration did nothing to advance Middle East peace, end quote. Quote, the president has reinstated humanitarian assistance and security assistance to the Palestinians. That's something that was stopped back in 2018. And we felt that was not a conservative action by the prior administration, Jen Psaki said in a briefing aboard Air Force One yesterday. Further, quote, aside from putting forward a peace proposal that was dead on arrival, we don't think they, speaking of the Trump administration, did anything conservative, constructive. Really, we bring an end, literally, they're saying, really, to bring an end to the longstanding conflict in the Middle East, Biden's chief spokesman said. However, the Trump administration argued the Abraham Accord between Israel, Sudan, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates were struck precisely because the Arab nations abandoned their longstanding Palestinian veto. Separately, Israel and Morocco also normalized relations, end quote. And it goes on to go through the details of what had been attempted with the Carter administration, with the Clinton administration, with the Reagan administration, and how they always looked at the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the jihadist, the Arab terrorist. They always went to them first and, as I would call it, kissed their boots and tried to negotiate peace starting from the ground up. President Trump went from the top down with the larger nations surrounding Israel, Arab Islamic nations surrounding Israel, and started a top-down approach. He cut the Palestinians out completely in the negotiations. He ceased funding the Palestinian terrorist jihadist Islamic organization back in 2018. He ceased to send funds. Hundreds, many of you may not know, but during the previous administrations, all of the previous administrations, Democrat and Republican, they kept on feeding the furnace with the fuel called U.S. dollars by hundreds of millions of dollars. President Trump ceased sending the hundreds of millions of dollars. It's a known fact, if you know anything about what's taking place in the Middle East, if you know anything about the jihadist terrorist Islamics that's wanting to destroy Israel, if you know anything about what's been taking place with the U.S. taxpayer dollars by the hundreds of millions that's gone into that region over the past decades, it's gone primarily to pay those martyrs, Islamic jihadist martyrs, to go in and to blow themselves up or to kill Jewish people in the terrorist attacks. And if they're killed in the process, then the U.S. taxpayer dollars funded through previous administrations, except the Trump administration. They've gone to pay the families of the martyrs, as they call them, to pay the families of the martyrs an income, an annual income for the rest of their lives. That is paying for terrorists to go in and to terrorize and to blow up and to kill and to destroy Jewish people in the nation of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, President Donald J. Trump brought that to a screeching halt. Until the recent days, there had not been any missiles flown over Israel during the entire Trump administration because of what President Trump had done. And I believe at the hand of God, I believe at God's intervention to give him the insight and the wisdom to do so, to bring about that lull in the battle that's been taking place in the nation of Israel. And that's as a result of the war between two brothers, Isaac and Ishmael, and as a result of the war between the two brothers and all of their prodigy down through the centuries, there's never been any peace in Israel. And since Israel was reconstituted May 15, 1948, it inflamed all of the jihadists around Israel. And since Israel became a nation, there's not been a day, a week, a month that they did not have to be on guard to protect themselves. And that brief respite, that brief lull of a little modicum of peace was under the Trump administration. Ladies and gentlemen, the Abrahamic Accord ignored the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, as it was called. It's openly called Hamas today. Hamas, the Islamic jihadist, they're in Gaza, primarily controlling Gaza. And the control of Gaza, ladies and gentlemen, you go back and you check history, was as a result of that negotiation with William Jefferson Clinton, Slick Willie, that negotiated a, quote, peace deal that required Israel giving up control of Gaza for the Islamic jihadists to control Gaza. And it's out of Gaza today that the missiles are being lobbed into Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and over Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about further in this very important broadcast today about news that impacts all of us and impacts the world. Those missiles are being bought and paid for by U.S. taxpayer dollars. They're being manufactured by the Iranians. The Iranians are in a peace, or not a peace pact, but in an agreement with China. China and Russia are basically in the control of Iran, and Iran is furnishing the missiles that's trying to destroy the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel. But ladies and gentlemen, it was under the Trump administration that they cut off the funding of Hamas and the terrorist called Hamas. Now today, under the socialist Marxist BLM Biden regime, the taxpayers are funding hundreds of millions of dollars. They just recently gave another $350 million to the terrorists, ladies and gentlemen, that sparked this new fresh fire in Israel and in the Middle East. It's Biden has given that terrorist dollars, given the taxpayer dollars to become terrorist funds, the Arab terrorists known as Hamas. So just as history would tell us today, ladies and gentlemen, Hamas, the Arabs, the jihadists, are absolutely lobbing thousands upon thousands of missiles into Israel. And the latest estimate, ladies and gentlemen, is some 30,000 missiles have been lobbed into Israel, primarily over Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. But fortunately, they have what is called the Iron Dome. The Iron Dome happens to be a missile detection system that will recognize a missile in the air and will then launch a missile from the Iron Dome to explode the missile coming in, the terrorist missile, before it hits land and harms people. Now, that is about 90% accurate. So that means out of approximately 30,000 missiles that have been lobbed into Israel, about 10% of them have hit the targets, and people have been maimed, injured, and some killed as a result of that. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply pause and ask you a question. If this were taking place in America, if those missiles are being lobbed over your city, if those missiles are being lobbed from an enemy over New York City, over any major city in America, would we sit in silence or would we return fire? Would we return fire in an effort to absolutely squelch the enemy, destroy the enemy, and protect our nation absolutely unequivocally? And that's what Israel is doing, and yet they're now looked at on a global basis as being the terrorist enemy themselves, and there's a call on an international level coming through the Biden cabal and the Biden administration for Israel to cease and desist their terrorist activities. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor. There's multiple signs and birth pangs occurring right in front of our eyes that indicate we're in the season of Christ's return. I mean, apostasy, which is the falling away from the faith, that's going on worldwide. Disease, pestilence, COVID-19, persecution of Jews and Christians. I mean, it's increasing. They're killing Jews and Christians in other countries. Israel was reborn after, like you said, almost 2,000 years, 48. They took control of Jerusalem in 1967. The gospel is being preached in just about everywhere because of technology, which is another sign. As in the days of Noah, the huge increase in violence and sin is going on today, just like it did in the days of Noah. No spiritual zeal, no spiritual sensitivity. As in the days of Lot, Lot was the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. the world's gone crazy with gay rights and all this bizarre gender stuff they're trying to push on us. Increase in travel and knowledge, that's Daniel 12:4. I mean, computers and all the technological stuff that's going on. I mean, they have the ability to spy on us now and know everything we do on the internet. They can track people, identify people, facial recognition. They can control who can buy and sell. That's the mark of the beast. I mean, we are in the season of his return. Now, how close the rapture is, only God the Father knows.
We're in the last of the last days, Joseph, just as you have so aptly done a broad brush overview of those signs that we see in the scripture. And God's fulfilling those. Some of these signs, we're seeing the foreshadowing. Some of these signs, we're seeing the actual coming about of the biblical text. But many of these signs we're looking at that are precursors to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, precursors to that which the Bible refers to as the Battle of Armageddon. They're precursors to those wars and rumors of wars that we find in Matthew chapter 24, which God says will take place before the end of time. We're watching the signs of the times taking place as never before in the history of our nation, I believe, Joseph, and it should cause the Christian to be excited to know that we live in an era when we're seeing God's unfolding his word before
Amen.
Us. You can turn on news. You can look at the news online. You can watch some of the news, even the worst case news scenarios on television. When I say that, I'm talking about the Communist Network news. And you can still see a modicum of truth in that you're finding God's word coming to fruition. So I get excited about when I see that. But our people, our listeners, need to understand that what is taking place today, we're watching the disengagement, America's disengagement with the support of Israel. And when we do that as a nation, God help us as a nation, because the hand of God, I believe, is on America and the preservation, the protection, and the promotion of America as no other nation on the face of the globe because of our hand-in-hand protecting the nation of Israel, the apple of God's eye.
Amen. Amen. It sickens me, Pastor, when I watch the mainstream media. I mean, they're so biased, making Israel look like a bully when the bully is the Palestinians are shooting thousands of missiles into Israel. Israel has every right to go in there and wipe them out. I mean, why feel sorry for these people who hate Israel, God's chosen people?
Yes, you're exactly right. We're going to look at more of the articles in relationship to that. But, Joseph, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your insight. Thank you for the hope that we have for each of us as Christians that's in us based on the promises God's given us in his word. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your input on that. Keep on looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. I believe we have Jim on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. And thank you, Joseph, from me as well. They're a very insightful statement. I'd like to add to your historical narrative as to why Hamas and Iran are so closely linked. I was alive during the time that Jimmy Carter was brokering the Camp David Accords between Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin. And there was a man named Yasser Arafat who heavily influenced Mr. Carter.
Yes, I called him Yasser, the Ararat.
Yeah, and one of the things that Yasser Arafat convinced Jimmy Carter of is that the Shah wasn't truly going to be, you know, an ally, and that the Ayatollah who was exiled in France should be released to go back to Iran, which of course instigated the whole deal where we had the Revolutionary Guard come up, the seizing of the U.S. embassy, the taking of United States citizens for 443 days, I think.
444 days.
444 days. Yeah, I knew it was something like that. But that whole period of time there had linked the Palestinian Liberation Organization to Iran. And to this day, even though the PLO is morphed into Hamas, they are still linked at the hip because of that.
Yes.
So,
in fact, all the Carter administration brought about the ultimate assassination of the Shah of Iran. And as a result of that, as you have just so well adequately stated, bringing back from, how would you say, out of hiding, the supposed religious leader, the great leader of the nation, and as a result of that, we're seeing the end result of it today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The fumbling of Jimmy Carter.
I'd like to ask one question there. Can you expound for your audience there? I know that we're supposed to test our spiritual leaders, and there's a segment of the Bible that tells you if you're in an apostate church to come out. Can you give us some of the fundamentals that Christian believers should be looking for and seeing to determine whether or not they are in an apostate church and that they might want to consider, more thorough investigation into
Christ? That's a good question. It would be an entire broadcast, but I'll put it in a capsule form. There, first of all, must be a recognition that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Any church, any religious organization that a person is in, if they challenge and question the veracity of the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, if they start talking about there's an error here, God made a mistake here, that is an apostate church, that's a false leader, that's a false spiritual leader, get out. In any church where they deny, question, or challenge the veracity of the fact that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is virgin-born, as a result of the virgin birth, he is very God. That is, he's 100% God. He's not 50% man, 50% God. He's 100% God. That Jesus Christ came in the world. He is God incarnate, God come in the flesh, died on the cross, shed his rich red royal blood for sinners such as I, was buried, and on the third day rose again, having victory over sin, death, and the grave. If those things are questioned, challenged, or in any way dispersed as being non-real or simply allegorically put, then you need to find a church where the Word of God is recognized as being the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And thirdly, if you're in a church where there's an animus toward the Jews, if you're in a church where there's the Christians that believe somehow, some way, that Jews are bad people, we need to hate them, and we need to come disengage with the nation of Israel, need to get out quickly because the house is going to cave in, the roof will fall in, because it's an apostate church. Those that will turn their backs on the Word of God, turn their backs on the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel, turn their backs on the reality of what the Scripture says. Just as the Pope is now saying hell is not real, Jesus Christ is not God, he's not divine at all. If you're sodomite, LGBTQ agenda, he says don't worry about it, that's not sin, God made you that way. And the Bible has errors in it, needs to be corrected. The Lord's Prayer is out of date, needs to be updated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of that's coming out of people like the Pope and some out of the Stanley preacher in Atlanta. He says, the Ten Commandments has no authority today because it's out of date, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those are apostate preachers, apostate churches. And if you have one like Rick Warren that says that Islam and Christianity are sister religions, calls it Chrislam, get out. It is a false, phony, apostate church. Did that halfway answer your question?
Oh, that fully answered my question, and I agree that you're probably correct. It would take several shows, but I just wanted to hear it, and maybe it'll tweak somebody out here in your audience.
I'm praying that it does, because we have so many people today that are anemic, biblically speaking, ignorant, biblically speaking, infantiles as Christians, and they're not studying the Bible, they're not being taught the Bible, therefore they don't realize they're getting pablum and not the meat of the Word. And I would challenge anybody that's in that kind of a church, find a church where the Word of God is proclaimed without fear and without favor, and affiliate with that and study the Word of God and see what God's Word says in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take just about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for the news. Right after the news, come back. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial as we continue to talk about today's news that impacts the world.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.